This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're an idiot and you don't know baseball.
Ranger fans, you're not dreaming.
How can you not be romantic about baseball?
We have a hitting coach. Another one.
Like a co.
A couple now.
A couple. It's like a try-hitting coach.
Yeah.
Really. It's a couple. But Brett Boone, friend of the show, every other Wednesday with us for what? 3 years. We thought he was the good luck charm when they won the World Series. But he has been hired away. Hired away from us as the new hitting coach of the Texas Rangers, offensive coordinator. They want to call it that now. You know, and he was on the plane yesterday. Texted with him. Said, I'm on the plane. Talk soon. He is meeting the team in Boston as they get going tonight and early start, pre-6 o'clock start, 5:40, right here on 105 to the Fan. But here's Brett Boone as the new hitting coach of the Texas Rangers.
This completely came out of left field. It started, I went up to USC, my alma mater. I threw out a first pitch. I ran into an old buddy of mine, Michael Young, and he's with the Texas Rangers. And we just started talking, and you know, we had a 10-minute conversation, gave each other a hug. I said, give CY, which is Chris Young, my new boss, the president of the Rangers, and obviously the skipper, Bruce Bochy, who is this, I played under in 2000, but we've become, you know, have a really good friendship with him for a lot of years. And I get home, and the phone's ringing, and it's Bruce Bochy. And the first thing I thought is, this is weird. Mid-season, I know the Rangers have been scuffling with that offense. 2 years ago, they won the World Series and with the best offense in baseball, and now they're scuffling a little bit. I said, this is a weird time for Bruce to be calling. So I answered the phone as I do. And I said, Bruce, I know, can't get enough. You want to come back on the podcast? Because we've had Bruce on quite a few times. And he said, no, Booney, it's a different call. And he kind of ran it by me. And he said, why don't you think about it? And, you know, I talked to my wife and I talked to the people, you know, close to me. And it didn't take long. You know, it was one of those things where I didn't know where this journey's taking me, but if there's a guy to get back on the field for the first time in a long time for me, there's no reason. Bruce Bochy's number one on my list. I mean, he's number one.
I imagine Brett Boone is, look, he's a lifer in baseball. He comes from a family of baseball players and coaches, managers, whatever you want to call it. I imagine that at some point he sees his brother in the game still. Now he's in the game from a podcast standpoint, but it doesn't leave these guys early. We see people retire in all in media, whatever, and here they are. Here they pop up 6 months later, and they've got a podcast. You can't stay away. It's in your blood. It's what you do. When it's something that defines you in part, it's what Brett Boone. He made a ton of money throughout his career. Might not need it. Probably could retire very, very comfortably. But maybe he was looking for something to do, and he got the phone call.
And you like the job that his brother has done in New York?
I think Aaron has done a really nice job. It's a hard job. Like, that is one of the hardest jobs because they treat every game like an NFL game with the Yankees. Like, if they lose a game, the sky is falling. And there's podcast every night. There's a podcast. This is unacceptable. I mean, how do you not hear? It's like, guys,
idiots going off on Soto. You might have been out that week.
The Met fans?
No, WFAN. This
Sal Licata.
Yeah, this I saw freaking that. Moron melting down over Soto.
See, and it's like it's a 6 month season. It's 162 games in 180 days. Give the guy a break. But you know, his brother deals with it all the time. I think he deals with it well. I think Brett's going to be fine at what he does. Like, it's in his blood. It's about the message. It's about relaying information. That's what a hitting coach is. It's not like the manager's job is different. The hitting coach is about relaying the information that the scouting department, that the analytics department gives you, and putting it into words and terms in a way that doesn't do paralysis by analysis for the players.
Yeah, and it's not just that it's a baseball family. It's that it's also, I mean, it is a coaching family. It's a managing family.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the fact that Aaron's managed, Bob managed, and now that Brett's getting into this, like, they clearly have, it's family that's not only played, but has gotten into the coaching side of things. And he seems like the perfect blend of, he likes the analytics, but he's also just old school baseball guy. He is Billy Bean and Grady Fuson. He's both of them.
You got to mix them together. Like the teams that just go all in on one or the other. I understand, like, from a you know, in certain situations you got to be all in or all out, but you also have to be able to blend it.
Chris Young yesterday on the G-Bag Nation explaining why it was time for change.
Well, just really, you have to look at the overall performance of the team, and at a point at which there's still a lot of baseball left, but the trend lines are really such that we decided that we need a new voice at the top to help get the best out of our group. And unfortunately, we felt like it was time to make this decision and part ways with Donnie. I mean, really, this is not a reflection of Donnie necessarily. I mean, this is all of us collectively, myself, the coaching staff, Boach, and of course the players have responsibility anytime a decision like this is made. But we did feel like at this point in the season, with a lot of baseball left, it's time for a different voice that may find a way to get the best out of these guys and work with Justin Vealey, our current hitting coach, and Seth Connor, our assistant hitting coach, and that this combo will be the right group to push this group forward and for us to start producing in a manner that we feel like this group is capable.
You know, I was expecting a little worse numbers looking at the team and the production. Now, Semien, horrific at 182. Adolis is 217. Both are in the 0.4 WAR category. Adolis is positive. Marcus is negative. Mm-hmm. And then you had, you know, Jake Berger, who was sent down. Josh Young's 274. Wyatt's at 297. Jonah's at 275. Josh Smith is at 311. And Seager is at 291. So I was expecting some worse numbers when it came to the collection of Young, Heim, Seager. Obviously, Jock Peterson doesn't even have a one starting off his average yet. So Peterson, Semien, Berger.
I have never seen, by the way, when you mentioned that, and I just pulled up the roster so I can look at it. Do you know what Jock Peterson's OPS plus is?
No.
46.
I've never seen this. It is negative one.
Explain that.
OPS 100 plus is league average. That's like the league average for OPS.
Yeah. So he is twice as bad as the league average player.
I've literally net, like, for instance, Marcus Semien, as much as Marcus Semien has struggled at the plate, he's a 50 on OPS plus. Negative one. I didn't know it could go into negative territory.
Wow.
I thought it just bottomed at zero.
This man helped spurn the championship run and ignite them. Can he do it again? Chris Young on G-Bag explaining the call-up of Evan Carter.
We are excited that Evan will be rejoining the major league team. You know, in a really good place physically and performance-wise, and we're excited to get him back in our lineup. We think he complements our lineup very, very well, and he'll be a really good addition to the group we have. And I think it just collectively getting Corey Seager back, getting Evan, the good version of Evan Carter, back in the lineup, and getting the confidence back in some of these guys. We haven't seen the best of this team. We just have not. This team has not clicked at the level that I believe they're capable. And I think once they build some positive momentum and kind of the confidence comes, I really believe this team will be capable of doing some special things offensively, and I'm looking forward to seeing that.
I like the check. He goes, getting Evan Carter, the good version of Evan Carter back. He's like, oh, okay. That was.
Listen, it's what he does in the next, you know, couple of months is going to really dictate a lot of the Rangers season. He extends the lineup. He makes it a deeper lineup. He makes it a more potent lineup when he's on. When he's not, then obviously we're in the same predicament that we're in right now, looking for somebody else. You hope, because nobody's going to trade anybody right now, right? No teams are making trades in the first week of May. They're going to wait things out. So you hope this gives you an opportunity to not have to make a trade, that Evan Carter comes up, plays well, he's your midseason acquisition.
The Mass Holes are 500, second place in the AL East. Rangers at Boston today, 5 o'clock pregame on this station. Nate Eovaldi, 2-2 when you got a 2-1-1 ERA.
Sad. It's sad. And, you know, Boston just lost Tristan, one of their better players, ruptured a patella tendon. So he's gone for the whole year. It's a bad injury for them.
By the way, there was a note from CBS that seems kind of impossible. But since April 25th, the Rangers haven't won a non-DeGrom start.
What?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was Eovaldi. Yeah. It was the last one they won. It was against the Giants when Eovaldi pitched that shutout ball, and they beat San Francisco 2-0.
Diamond Cavs on the home of the Rangers, 105.3 The Fan.
So, they're like you said, they head east to Fenway Park, and then they go to Detroit. To start the year, they had a projected win total of about 89 wins on ESPN's projection model. That was ahead of most AL teams. Now it's down to about 500. They've lost already about 8 wins off their projected win total. They're at 81.9, so still slightly above 500. 81.9 would be above it. But they went from a 61% chance to make the playoffs. Now they are below 40. They are at 38%. The chance to win a title is down to 1%, down from 5. And here's the write-up. Even after an 8-run outburst against the Mariners, they ranked 29th in scoring. Only the Rockies have scored fewer. Stunning turnaround from an offense that kept scoreboards spinning in 2023. Last year's falloff was steep, and based on what we've seen, hope for positive regression are fading. Adolis had another down season. Semien, below replacement. The key additions, Peterson and Berger, have hurt more than they've helped. Peterson hitting a remarkable 0.94 with a 334 OPS. Berger's OPS of 561. Already sent down. Like we said, Donnie Ecker was fired during who was with the club during the 2023 run, was fired. So, I mean, they specifically pinpoint Adolis and how he has fallen off. And for a guy that is a power bat to have an OPS that is 131st in the league, it just means basically if you took every team in baseball, he would be at best the fourth hitter on every team.
And speaking of the diamond, how about this special delivery we had,
man,
brought in?
Yeah, this was the doing of you, I think, Sean. So yesterday we were
talking.
I love to
pit high school athletes against each other.
You do, and I'm representing both Marcus High School and Keller High School today because we talked about yesterday that in best and worst of the weekend that I was in a bit of a bind because Marcus is our home high school. But Keller is, of course, the official softball team of the morning show, and they're going to play each other in the playoffs this week. And Mike Eggleton, Mike, step over here to this mic over here. So Mike Eggleton is he's the dad of one of the players there, Brooke, who hooked me up with my Keller hat. And Sean's holding up on the fan cam one of these koozies, these leather koozies with the 105 through the fan emblem.
Look at that.
Sean said yesterday, whoever brings us the most gear is who he's going to support. And we got Marcus gear last night. Somebody dropped some Marcus gear off. We did not get this much gear. So I think Sean's already made his allegiances.
Look at our heads, or at least me, Peyton, and Bobby wearing the Keller K.
Yeah, and I've got I'm going to sit behind home plate. I'm going to have the Mama Kelsey split jersey. That's what I got to do. Mike, pull that mic over there, and then Aiden, you can throw him up on the fan cam. So, Mike, you just heard your name dropped, and you were like, I have to come through now.
You did? Yes, you did. You called me out last night, called me out last year. We brought you the stuff. You showed up to games. You actually, you drove all the way out to Abilene.
Yeah,
to watch
I dealt with the cartel over in Midland.
That's a whole different story. Yeah. We could talk for 2 seconds on that. I literally kicked in doors at apartment complexes in Odessa to find the stuff, and then we actually found it the very next day because someone dumped it because there was so much heat from them.
You really kicked in a door?
The equipment?
It was more than one, yeah.
The equipment that was taken last
year?
They
left all their stuff on the bus, and they woke up in the morning. We were all in the lobby. We literally got calls from our daughters at the same time. Wow. And they all, my daughter was in tears. She's like, Dad, they stole the stuff. You know, like on Animal House, they took the bar, the whole bleep, right? Like, what do you mean they took the equipment? No, Dad, they took everything. Someone broke into the bus. One of the dads had airdrop on the bats. We found him in an apartment complex. We were staying in Midland. It was in Odessa. Found an apartment complex in Odessa. It was definitely less than habitable, and so we had to kick indoors to find the equipment.
Squatters, not just catchers. Yeah. Thank you. Hey, man, thank you.
Yeah, we've got plenty of gear here, a whole box of shirts and hats and everything else, and it's all courtesy of Mike Eggleton. And Keller and Marcus squaring off in the softball playoffs this Thursday.
Go Keller today.
Go Keller.
Until another box comes. Diamond Cavs on the home of the Rangers with Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan. The Tolos asked for it. We debut it. More Peyton Phillip Russell.
PP in the morning.
With another segment next.
Okay, am I hearing this right? The morning show is letting Peyton Russell have his own segment? I just don't get it. We've known Peyton for years. He's horrible on the mic. I mean, gathering the foreigners, this is going to be a train wreck.
Daddy does work, and Peyton just does board hopping.
That is right. What, Sean, you silly goose, it's not Thursday. Well, why are you putting payload on the run sheet?
Well, I'm glad you asked. Number one, after Bobby's annual Tolo fan survey came back with the request of a lot more pay, we decided to add a second segment. So you're only three behind Alec Medford now for the week. But usually it's the payload 6:40 on Thursdays. So we said, okay, let's spread it out a little bit. Different hour. So the 8 o'clock Tolos get a little taste of Peyton Phillip Russell. I also asked for maybe a different name for it. Well, yesterday, while you were not participating in jury duty, you sent the message, hey, if I get time, maybe, you know, I'll come up with a new intro for a new segment name. I wasn't a big fan of what you came up with.
Well, I technically came up with it.
Okay, well, I wasn't a big fan of what Bobby came up with.
That was a great name.
Come on, Bobby.
They wanted to name the segment. I think this needs to go out for a poll question and let the text decide, as they did for the payload. Gather the foreigners.
And he'd bring four stories.
Yeah, four stories.
Good gather play on Peyton's, you know.
The foreigners, which is an old inside joke from Pepe. I'm not a fan of that. So I don't think that's going to happen. I kind of like what RJ loves. I just don't know if we're allowed to do it in terms of, you know, FCC. And there's some rule about talking about the act of number one, but go ahead.
So, and now we're not necessarily talking about the act of number one, because when Peyton was doing his 5:30 segment, because he lost the NCAA tournament bracket, you know, he said it's on PP in the morning, double entendre, right, or whatever it's called.
I like that.
Play on words.
Play on words. Yeah. Your initials are Peyton Phillip, right?
Genius.
PP.
PP, PP in the morning.
Exactly. Yeah.
A lot of guys, first act. Do.
Quick and to the point.
Right.
Quick and to the point. But it's funny. It's funny.
I think it's funny. I think, you know, we need the Spittle sign off in order to make it official. But if you have other ideas, is it the payload 2.0? I don't know. Do we just keep it the payload? That's where we need the fan text to decide. But you are getting more pay right now. I would vote for PP in the morning.
Thank you very much. PP in the morning. I second it.
So. Why'd you say thank you very much? Wasn't that Peyton's?
Yeah, you didn't come up with it.
Called it.
I stole my credit. Come on. I brought it back, Bobby.
2 weeks ago.
But thank you to all the Tolos on the survey. Sean, RJ, Bobby, thank you for allowing this. And let's hope it sticks around for a while. But guys, the Met Gala was last night. Oh. Do you guys keep up with that? I know it's not the exact same as like the Oscars, Grammys, but I kind of throw it in the same category. I'll follow up on Twitter, you know, X, you know, if I find anything interesting, it'll be on there. But I don't like make time out of my night to watch this or to keep up with this event.
Because you're a guy. Yeah, that's why you don't follow the Met Gala.
I don't even know what goes on there. What is it?
I think it's just a fashion walk.
Yeah.
They raise money or something. Ada has some of the pictures from last night's event. I know Bobby, someone you were talking about in the fan text as well last night.
Yeah, and so I wanted to send something to my prep for this. I wanted to basically like take every photo. And then, like, you know that, what does it look like they do for a living bit that was going on social media?
I wanted to take that
and then describe it. And as I went through it, I was like,
is that Stephon Diggs?
There's Pamela Anderson, dude.
Yep.
Yeah. There was no way. When I started going through the exercise, I was like, there's no way for me to not get in trouble with the way I'm describing these things. So I can't.
Is that mink? Is that fur? Is that fur from Stephon Diggs?
Hey, it's mm-hmm. Mink
Pam,
is back.
Fur the
is
Pam back. Anderson, though, almost brought Bobby to tears.
Yeah. It doesn't look. Now, look. She's going all natural, no makeup, anything. That's fine. That haircut, I don't know what she's doing with the haircut. It doesn't look like her. It just does not look like her. And it's sad. Those bangs are a little choppy. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Not a fan. Not a fan. But no, this is a significant other thing. Like Amanda forgot it was on. Otherwise, she would have kept it on in the background. But no, I have zero interest.
I guess they do the most, this is like the most ridiculous outfits they could come up with. Like the Oscars is like, you want to look super glam, right? This is different. This is like avant-garde, kind of super fashion-y, high fashion.
Like they're
given
a theme, I believe, or something that they go along with. So
yeah,
there. But yeah, that was Aiden threw some of the pictures on the fan cam, just of, you know, some of the popular ones from last night. But yeah, it's just a fashion show, basically. Some really great outfits, but it kind of looks like, you know, an NBA game, great, you know, outfits. The pregame.
What great outfits did you see?
Oh, you see Stephon Diggs up there? That was actually really good. I liked it. I know people poke fun at it, but I thought that was a good outfit there. Joey King as well. But yeah, so that was last night. But also yesterday, guys, I was off, of course, but Cinco de Mayo was yesterday. Did you guys celebrate? Do you celebrate that as a holiday, or do you kind of just...
Canceled right now, dude. There we go.
Yeah, see, this is why.
I'm waiting to see where you go with it.
No.
This is why he wanted to call it what he was originally going
to
call it.
Nothing to do with it.
I had tequila.
There you go.
No, like, isn't so?
Does anyone know the origin? Does anyone know the real meaning? Or are we just
fifth day of May? I have
put
no idea.
Tajin on your glasses and it was, say I'm celebrating.
Mexico's war against France, fight for independence against France. Is it even celebrated in Mexico? Like, I don't even know. Or is this an American excuse to get drunk?
Right. So it's not a widespread holiday in Mexico, according to Google. And I guess some people observe it, but it's not this prominent holiday in Mexico, apparently, that has crossed over. It's kind of become an Americanized holiday, it seems.
Yeah, it's one of those holidays where it's like, you know, because it can fall on during the week, it's like one that I only celebrate if it falls on the weekend.
Yeah.
You know, like St. Patrick's Day, you know, it happens on the 17th of March every year, but like we can make it to where we celebrate the weekend before or weekend right after. Same thing with Halloween. You know, if Halloween falls during the week, you know, we decide do we celebrate before or after, but Cinco de Mayo, no one's celebrating it the weekend before.
I mean, the fact that... Growing up, I knew people would either call it Drinko de Mayo or Cinco de Drinko, like kind of just says, like, it's just people generally today use it for like, oh, let's get drunk and like have some great specials at the bar.
Did you go out for the tequila or at home?
No, I just had it at home. We didn't go out. We were going to leave the house. I wanted to get the lawn mowed yesterday, but I couldn't because of the rain. And it was just, I'm staying in.
And it's just like Valentine's Day, which is on a Tuesday February every year.
But I don't feel like this is that's a holiday that people celebrate the weekend before. It's either on the day or not.
Right. Valentine's Day, you got to do it on the day of. You know?
Well, no, but I'm saying Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, like yeah, right.
Because the specials are going to be on.
Yeah.
On the 5th.
214 says, us Mexicans do not celebrate Cinco de Mayo. Only white people do. 469, more Americanized holiday like St. Patrick's Day.
Yep. Yep.
All right. It is the payload every Tuesday now at this time and then Thursday as well. But guys, it wouldn't be a payload without a Gen Z story. Do you guys call your significant others a cute nickname like honey, babe?
I will at times, not one time have I ever gotten in return. I'll be like, hey, babe. That's it.
Never.
Really?
Not one time has she ever said it back. She's too cold.
Does she ever text it? Like, does she use like shorthand like there or anything? Or did she ever during the dating phase?
Nope. Hmm. Never the reciprocation of it. I'll be like, really? Hey, babe, what are you doing? Hey, babe, you're in the other room. That's the only like cutesy nickname, but never gotten in return. She's cold.
Even when we're fighting, we say babe.
What?
Babe, what are you doing? Babe, what's going on? Even when we're fighting. I'll call her a country girl. His last name is Countryman. So instead of man, I'll call her country girl every now and then. But not anymore. She's a choppy.
Yeah, that's right.
She's a choppy. Well, so when we were dating.
I can't picture you two saying anything to each other.
Me? No. She like I used to say it all the time. It's like, I mean,
Babe? Is that the number one seed that we're going with? Babe
or like I would do like Honey or Sweetie. But I texted Sweetie one time and I fat fingered it and it was like instead of an
Sweaty.
I, there was an O. No, there instead of an I, there was an O. So it was like Sweeto. So she'll text that still to this day.
Okay.
She'll say like, hey, well, Sweeto, let me blah, blah, blah. And so she'll do that.
We'll play on it. Mm. And you?
So yes,
Mr. Romantic.
I'll say babe or I'll text, you know, baby, you know, like that. Oh. But like there's times where like if I say like, Mackenzie, come here. She's like, why are you mad at me? Like why are you mad at me? Like,
do you whistle too? Yeah.
Heel? You tell her to heel?
She's like, get over here.
Mackenzie.
Get over here.
Come, girl, come.
You know, if I say her name, she'll be like, am I in trouble? Like, why are you saying my trouble?
Yeah, hey. I love how you act like you have all this hand. Anyone who's been around y'all for 5 minutes knows that she runs the show.
Christy.
Yeah, she thinks she's in trouble. I decide dinner. I pick the meals.
Yeah, if I say Kristen, though, if I use her name, she is like, she thinks there's like a serious context. She's
the dog ears go up according to Peyton.
Yeah, exactly.
If I text, you know, Mackenzie, this, she's like, why are you yelling at me? It's like, I'm not. I'm just saying your name in the text. Like, yeah. But yeah, but Gen Z guys, they're trying to change things up. They're tired of the cute nicknames for your partner, like honey and baby and babe. They want to change the meaning. They want to change the nicknames to have more meaning. They've suggested some of these names. Let me know what you think. Queen.
No,
God,
king?
I hate no,
that.
No.
There's the phrase that infuriates me. Back to Ask Reddit, Queen and King.
Yeah, no,
my king. Not.
Yes,
my
queen.
Yes, queen.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. Day one, they also threw that out. No. I never liked
kings
that
and queen.
One.
You had to be born into it.
Day
you
one,
just call kings
yeah,
and
like
queens.
You're my day one.
You're
you've
my
been
day
there,
one.
You've been there since my day one.
No. Yeah. That's also fundamentally inaccurate.
That just doesn't. Yeah, hey, day one, that doesn't work.
You were just a better option that day. I call you better option.
or second option.
Second option.
Side chick.
Second option.
Second option.
Or third option, depending on how you roll with it. But yeah, it is the payload here. Last story here, guys.
Is that it? Are those the three suggestions that they want to replace honey, babe, and sweetie?
Those were
with?
The main ones. They had other ones. I think bay maybe was one. B-A.
Bay?
Do you guys know what bay stands for?
Bay.
Before anyone else, right?
Yeah,
before anything else?
Bay does. Like, bay is probably the one that's got most normalized that I hear people use.
Yeah, I hate that too. I'm a lovey-dovey. You know what I mean?
But yeah,
Bobby thought that my daughter was going to change me and melt me and all that stuff. No.
Oh, she has. No. Yes, she has. I'm going to start keeping a book of record because there have been a few times where like I see it. And I'm like, oh,
oh yeah. When I FaceTime her, that I'm not like, hey, baby, consume that milk.
Emma.
I'm like,
Emma. Rasta.
By the way,
I don't think you're supposed to say that, Bobby.
The Peyton Russell takeover continues. I just got a DM from Atolo. Said, tell Peyton to tell me where he's sitting for the post concert. I'll be sure to take care of his food and drink. And I'm not going to say how. I don't want to get anyone in trouble, but this is a very prominent individual at AT&T Stadium.
Well, you need an access code because I'll be in a suite.
Jerry can get in. Jerry can get in anywhere.
Jackass. You'll need an access code. I'll be in a suite.
DM me, and I'll respond back to you, and we can meet up and stuff. But there it is.
He'll go down to steerage.
I'll humor you. I'll get you a drink.
I'll humor you, yes.
Yes.
There it is. There's the payload.
All right. Wow, we'll see. Did the Tolos vote on a name? Did they come up with something else? PP in the morning?
They like PP in the morning.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll see what Spittle says. 877-881-1053. Alec Medford just entered the studio. Probably congratulating Peyton on almost catching up to him. We're almost 50% there. Below the belt is an 840 staple on the home of the Cowboys. Was NIL the reason that Quinn Ewers fell in the NFL draft? That's next on Sean and RJ. The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt. Is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
My belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
Is NIL actually costing players money in the long term? Let's talk about it. That may be the case for Quinn Ewers here. Quinn Ewers was, by general accounts, I think thought to be a guy that was going to go in the third round, roughly.
At the highest.
Yeah, but I mean, like in general, I think he was thought third, fourth round. Okay. Like not a guy that was going to go in, definitely not going to be first round, probably wasn't going to sneak in the second round. But third is where you start looking at, all right, this is generally where he might end up going, or he could then three.
Didn't you think undrafted?
No, I had Quinn in fourth round. But, like, I mean, I did know that there was a lot of split opinion on Quinn. There were some people who were like, yeah, that's a guy who I think you could take in the second round. Then there were other people who thought, like, I wouldn't draft him. And so there was a lot of variance around him. That I don't know that there was a player I heard more split opinion on in terms of how they viewed him than with Quinn Ewers. So he goes...
He screwed himself, man.
Well, he goes pick 231 in the seventh round, and he may have screwed himself because of that NIL money that you think he should have hung around for. Or at least that's the explanation that teams are giving him. So Ron Slavin is the agent for Quinn Ewers, and Ron Slavin is one of the big power agents of the NFL. He was Leighton Vander Esch's agent. He helped coordinate getting Alden Smith to Dallas. Ron Slavin had done an interview with Todd Archer, and Florio was kind of recapping some of it over at Pro Football Talk, and this is what he said. He said, Quinn Ewers was the 13th and final quarterback taken in the 2025 draft at pick number 231 in the seventh round. Some teams had him rated higher than that, but they didn't take him. Agent Ron Slavin told Todd Archer of ESPN that the day after the draft, Slavin reached out to half the league to figure out why Ewers slid so far. This is his quote. They thought he was a third or fourth round pick, but too big of a name to be a clipboard holder, which I think is chicken-esque.
By the way, I can't remember who it was, maybe on NFL Network. I think it was Daniel Jeremiah. When Shador was falling, he said, this is where agents call in between the days and rounds and be like, hey, yeah, we're about football. Like, they try to go ahead and reset things. Who's Shador's agent, Bobby?
He doesn't have one.
So that did not help in terms of the PR chaos that was taking place.
PR chaos, and like we talked, I think you were out, how his number got released because of that. Normally, it would have been just the agent's number gets released, and then they give that they get in touch with the agent.
Yeah, but other players got pranked. But I don't know whether they were also not represented.
Correct. But yeah, the
why are you saying he screwed himself?
So he was a reclassification out of high school. He was a junior. He just played against Cade Klubnik in the state championship game at Southlake. Instead of going to his senior year, he says, I'm going to take him. He was trying to get an NIL deal. He goes, I'm going to take the $1 million, go to Ohio State, reclassify. So he graduates after his junior year instead of after his senior year. So he missed the extra year of growth, development, football. You know, as opposed to playing another year of high school, getting better, he goes, doesn't play his first year at Ohio State, and then comes the transfers to Texas. He had to sit out a year, right?
No.
Did he not have to sit out a year?
No.
But he sat the first year. He redshirted, right? He sat the first year at Ohio State.
Yeah,
at Ohio. Comes to Texas. So he had already missed a full year of playing football. And it was just like, all right, you kind of ruined any momentum. Some of your development and growth is at the high school level.
Here he was talking with John Gruden during his Barstool quarterback camp on his local high school days.
South Lake, Texas. You don't have much of a twang there, do you?
That's a good spot.
Yeah?
No Texas twang, huh?
South Lake Carroll, that's kind of a hot spot. You have had one of the most mysterious high school careers that I have seen. You're the number one prospect. Hell, I had you as getting scholarship offers when you were like seventh grade?
Seventh grade, sounds about right.
Tell me about that. Who came in and offered you a scholarship? How'd it happen?
Yeah, this is a funny story. I went to a little summer camp at UNT, and I was young, so I guess I was throwing it better than all the high school kids, so they pulled me aside. I started throwing the ball, and they were like, all right, man, like, how old are you? And like, what's going on? I was like, yeah, I'm going into seventh grade. They cut to the chase. They're like, we're going to offer you scholarship to come play ball here. And I'm like, all right, we'll see what happens in 5 years, or whatever it was.
Baby Gronk, the original Baby Gronk.
The original.
Quinn Ewers with the real attention there. This brings up an interesting thought, though. And I trust Ron Slavin's one of the more connected agents of the business. I trust if he called around to half the teams, and that was kind of the feedback he got. That's the question then becomes, all right.
And the feedback was, again,
that they didn't think that he could be a clipboard holder. He was too big of a name to be a clipboard holder.
Yeah.
Which Slavin said he thought was chicken-esque. Now, the problem here is, or the thought process behind this is, are teams giving you a BS reason? Are they just sandbagging you?
Yeah.
Or is this legitimately the thought process now that teams may be willing to pass on a guy that they view as a third or fourth round type of player out of fear that we don't know, you might be too entitled or too big a name to have in our quarterback room, and so we're going to pass.
So, two different things here. This principle, I believe, does apply. It doesn't apply to Quinn Ewers. Quinn Ewers is not a big enough name to be a distraction as an NFL backup, in my opinion. Maybe here, on the Cowboys, maybe with the Texans. This applies to Shador. This applies to, if we don't think you're a starter, the additional Shador slide, I believe, in addition to sending him a message probably, which Bobby says the NFL will always win at so far, that looks pretty accurate. If we don't think you're a starter, the noise and the circus and the hype ain't worth you as the backup. It applies to Shador. In my opinion, it does not apply to Quinn Ewers. So Ron Slavin got fed, I think, some BS from teams. Quinn Ewers ain't big enough to be causing all these local talk shows in whatever city it is to be going crazy. Shador Sanders is.
Then what about the entitlement angle of it? That he's too big of a name in terms of, like, he's used to a certain type of approach that we don't trust him to necessarily hold a clipboard and be satisfied with that.
If I could buy that, depending, I don't know what type of dude Quinn is.
By all accounts, he's a good guy.
Yeah, like, this is Gruden with Quinn talking about his demeanor. I watched this entire thing. He did not look. I wanted him to be more doggish on the field. When I watched him, I was like, man, he's a dead body out there. He's Weekend at Bernie's. Here's Gruden with Quinn on demeanor.
I've always been just a chill guy. A lot of people say I don't have a sense of urgency. I got a sense of urgency. It just looks different than a lot of people. Going into Tuscaloosa last year and doing what we did, you know, these guys saw me right here. I get up a little bit, but when I needed to, but these guys saw me right here and they're like, oh, Bama just went up against us and, you know, we got to put a drive together here in the fourth quarter to go score. They look at me and I'm chilling on the bench, right? I'm not doing anything crazy. I'm just focusing on myself, focusing on what I need to do for my teammates.
Your leadership style with your teammates in these big moments, is there a speech that you give, or are you just leading with your actions?
I'm a big encourager, man. I speak life into my guys. And to be a good leader, you have to be a good follower. I follow Jesus, so he's the greatest leader of all time. And everything I've learned, you know, about him and through reading the Bible and whatnot, he's the greatest leader ever. And, you know, he's stern when he needed to be, but he's, you know, the greatest encourager of all time. That's where I get my stuff from, man.
So, man, in watching an hour with him, this is only an hour, I find it hard to believe that he sat down in these rooms and turned them off with entitlement.
Yeah, now here's...
I wouldn't think so. But, you know, also, like, you know, the quarterback at Texas is a massive name in general, just in a vacuum, right? The quarterback, whoever the quarterback at Texas is going to be boosted.
Yeah.
To a level that, you know, sometimes they shouldn't be at, or... if they should be there, they're going to be boosted even higher. Like, Arch is going to be boosted even higher.
Well, Arch is different.
Yeah.
Arch is a Shador conversation. The last 5 to 10 Texas quarterbacks are not. Period.
Right, because they a lot of them haven't been great.
Right.
You know,
and neither was Quinn Ewers.
No, but not great, but he was better than the rest of them. He was better than a lot of them were.
So, here's the thing about Quinn. The Georgia game during the regular season where he was getting destroyed. And I mean, like, he was coming off of the injury, and then he's getting... they can't protect for him. He's not as mobile as Arch Manning. It made sense to put Arch in and give it, like, let's give you a breather here. And they did. They brought Quinn back out into the game. I do wonder if, when they wonder about his ability to hold a clipboard, I wonder if some of the stuff I heard coming out of Indy that he was talking about, that Quinn was talking about with teams, impacted that. So Quinn apparently was telling, when it would come up, when people would ask him about, hey, the Georgia game, when you got pulled, like, talk to us about that, how you approached that, everything like that. And he was apparently pretty furious and made that known, that he was upset that he had gotten pulled. Now, he's probably saying that in the sense of, like, I'm a competitor. Like, yeah. I don't want to come out. Right. I fought to be back out here. I fought through the injury. This was something that was painful to do. And if I'm out there, I want to be out there. But I wonder if, when teams are talking about the clipboard thing, I wonder if they look at it and go, it was reasonable to sit you for a series. Your health was in danger. You weren't helping the football team. For you to cause a fuss about that or stink about that just makes us wonder about your ability to sit and play your role in the moment that you need to play the role. But I think you're right. I've never gotten the sense, especially listening to that Gruden stuff, that he sounds like a super entitled individual.
It just says the whole thing doesn't make sense to me. If he's too famous to be picked in the fourth round.
Too famous.
Then he's too famous to be picked in the seventh. Because the nothing changes. Like, he's right. Not less famous in the seventh round.
I think at that point you're just looking at the
right. But if
that's why he got fed. That's why this is BS.
Right. Because if he's too famous to be a backup in the third round, then he's too famous to be a backup. Period.
I agree.
But if he's too entitled to be a backup from the third or fourth round, there reaches a point where they go, well, a seventh, that's no investment. We cut seventh rounders all the time.
But how does that change the he's too famous for the room?
It doesn't. It's just what you're willing to stand at, like what kind of investment you're willing to make in taking that risk.
The entitlement thing sounds like a reach. It feels and sounds like a reach. He's not that good. How about that? I mean, how many times do I have to say it?
How about that?
He's not that good to be drafted in the first three rounds or to be a team starter. Put that up there with my J.J. McCarthy takes. I ain't putting him in a J.J. category, but you can use this as evidence that I'm wrong moving forward.
Chop brought something up last week. We did a segment on this where, like, was Shador evidence of teams trying to take back power? Like from entitled athletes.
That's what it felt like.
And I wonder if, again, not necessarily entitled, but if they're just like, we're not putting up with any NIL diva behavior. So if we think that might be an issue, like if you're one of those kids coming up from that era, we're not playing with it. Like, think about how much the Cowboys just prioritize the selfless, like, egoless, just team-driven individuals who rejected a bunch of NIL deals to transfer. I think that talent, more and more teams are going to do that.
Yeah, but I think talent will ultimately win out.
Yeah, it will. You know? And ultimately, there reaches that curve where you've got to say, okay, well, now it makes sense. We're going to do it here.
B-Bill. Every single day at this time here on the New Look Morning Show, your official home of the Cowboys and Rangers. But we have an actual playoff team to talk about. The play-by-play voice of the Winnipeg Jets joins us next to preview Stars Round 2. Paul Edmonds is his name, Kevin Hagelin, and he joins us after this.